The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you, a stranger, and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Maybe our first reaction to this parable might be one of fear. I know that for me, it was. I identified with those who did not give food or drink, those who did not welcome strangers or give clothing to the naked, those who did not visit the sick or the imprisoned. At least I did not do these things to the levels that I thought I needed to do or I thought was expected of me. This was a gloom and doom parable for me, lifting before me a terrible mirror, exposing all of my feelings of inadequacy, raising within me fears of what the consequences might be for me because I have failed so miserably in serving Christ in the last, or the lost, or the least, or the lonely. But if that is the purpose of this parable, to cause us shame and fear, then we need to look again at the personality of this Jesus who is telling us such a story. Is this really who Jesus is? Is this someone that we would be attracted to that tells a story like this? Is this someone we would be drawn to? Someone that we would want to love, if that's the purpose of this parable? I don't think so. If this is a picture of Jesus who rewards and punishes based upon how well or how poorly we did good to those who needed our care, but made these judgments based upon a system that both the sheep and the goats were unaware of, then it doesn't inspire worship or adoration. It doesn't bring about feelings of love. It is difficult If not impossible to love someone who might judge us to eternal damnation based upon our response to something we did or did not do unconsciously. How would we ever know if we had done enough? How would we ever know if we made the grade? The constant worry would trash any feelings of love we might have for this Savior of the world. So, even though there will probably be lots of sermons preached on this text today about how we need to make the grade or else, I really don't believe that was the purpose of Jesus telling us this story. Instead, I believe Jesus is giving us a picture of what the end of the age, of what heaven itself looks like. And an important aspect of heaven is not that it will have nothing in it which is not love. Anything that is outside of love, anything that is evil or self-serving, anything which tries to diminish the value or the purpose of anyone, anything that creates fear or sadness, anything that reduces the joy of a perfect day, anything that isn't filled with the beauty and wonder of love will not have a place in heaven. And that is a place where I want to be for all of eternity. And I'm sure it is where you want to be as well. No illness. No tears. No fear of any kind. No embarrassment. No loneliness. Nothing. Nothing but the joy and the wonder of love. That's what Jesus is showing us here with this parable. That's what heaven is all about. There is no place for the goats that cause so much trouble in this life. Heaven is all about love. That's what we are being brought into. This is the heaven that we were baptized into. This is the heaven we consume as the body and blood of Jesus each week. This is the heaven that comforts us as we mourn the loss of our loved ones, knowing that this is what they are now enjoying. This is the heaven that we look forward to with our deepest longing. There is no room for keeping to ourselves in this heaven. It is the ultimate of parties. And even for the severely introverted in our midst, there won't be a need for introversion or extroversion in heaven because we will all be swept up by the worship and the delight of it. And we will never grow weary, never, ever, because all of the clocks and the beating of our hearts will be gone. There'll be no time for time, so that it too can't get in the way of love. This parable shows us that heaven is all about relationships and the love found in those relationships. In fact, that is the very nature of God. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the nature of God is relationship. It is the holy community where there is complete openness, complete trust, complete love. This is what awaits us. This is the kingdom that has been prepared for us. This is what we were made a part of in baptism and what becomes a part of us in Holy Communion. This is what the Word, the Holy Word, shows us, promises us, and comforts us with. Heaven is all about love because Jesus is all about love. He is not one to hide, waiting for the moment to smack us when we unknowingly do wrong. No, Jesus is the one who goes all the way to the cross so that the world can be joined to him in heaven. So again, this parable is a picture of heaven where there is nothing, nothing but love. But this parable is also a wonderful word of promise. If you're like me, the more you contemplate just how wonderful heaven is, the more you want to be there. The more you want to touch it in some way, right now, the harder it is to wait for it. It's the grandest of all presents we will ever have to wait for. It's the ultimate of all ultimate parties, and waiting for that party can be difficult at times, and Jesus knows that. This is why he also puts this wonderful promise within this parable. In a way, he says, well, you know, if you want to touch the wonder and love of heaven right now, then go and feed someone who is hungry. If you want to connect with heaven today, then give someone who is thirsty something to drink. Welcome a stranger. Because you will be loving one another in the life to come. So welcome that stranger. Give clothing to someone who needs it. Visit the sick and the imprisoned. Pay attention to the lonely, the lost, the last, and the least. And do something to care for them. This is a promise. As you live out the love of heaven in this life, by sharing that love with others, by sharing it with those in need, you will get to experience a little bit of heaven right now in this life. Be in relationships with others, and not just those that are easy to be in relationship with, but with those that are difficult to be in relationship with. Again, this is a promise. You will get to know God as you get to know these people. As you engage in deepening your relationship with these people, you will become more deeply engaged in heaven itself. What a wonderful promise, huh? We do not have to wait and wait and wait for the joys of heaven to come to us at some far off, unknown time. No, these joys can be as close to us as the neighbor we serve. That's really what this parable is pushing us to see, that it is all about relationships. On this Christ the King Sunday, we see that it is all about relationships. Jesus is a very different kind of leader, of a very different kind of kingdom. With earthly kingdoms, what, access to major leaders is impossible. I've heard people describing life within the White House as a type of prison. What, with the Secret Service agents surrounding the occupants all the time? I don't think I could stand it. Not just anyone can have access to the president at any time or any other world leader. In fact, it is unusual when we get that kind of access, isn't it? Senator Herb Cole has this habit of eating at a restaurant in Milwaukee that's right across the street from where our daughter used to live. I've seen him there 3 times. And I haven't been in that restaurant many more times than that. Yes, he isn't a world leader, but he does have some pretty significant access to the powers of the world. And there he is, sitting at the counter, eating at the same restaurant as my family and I are eating at. I mention it only because it seems more an exception than the norm, right? I mean, typically leaders are not that accessible. They do not engage in relationships with the last, the least, the lost, and the lonely. But Jesus, our King, does. This is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And when we engage in what Jesus does, when we go where Jesus goes, when we follow him, we find ourselves growing in relationships with people, including and certainly especially to the last, the lost, the least, and the lonely. This is where Jesus is, and he promises us that we can grow in our relationship with him when we grow in our relationships with these people. We get to touch heaven itself when we do what Jesus does, when we go where Jesus goes, when we love those whom Jesus loves. Heaven is all about love. I don't think it can be said any more plainly or simply than that. Heaven is all about love. And when we love, especially when we love those who are particularly hungry for that love, even those we now find difficult to love, we join in the mission of heaven itself. We do what Jesus is doing now, today. There is no place in heaven for that which is not love. So let's make that our mission on earth as well. May there be no place on earth for that which is not love. Amen.